Okay. No song? No offering song?
It's okay. I think I got a favorite song. That last one we sung with the Lord. Lord, I will bless your name. Lord, I can't remember. That's a good one. I'm going to be living off that one for a while. So, good afternoon, everyone. So nice to see you. Happy New Year for those of you here. Some of you, it's your first Sunday. This is the second Sunday of the year, but for some of you back, it's your first Sunday back at church. Good to see your faces once more. And here we are. We've got a new series and a new year. So bless the Lord. We're in Luke, so I want to invite you to open your Bibles. And also, it's in your bulletins as well on the front page. Thank you, Jim, for putting that into Japanese as well. By the way, if you ever see someone with the need for translation, I would invite you to please, without hesitation, if you are native in Japanese, please don't hesitate to help out. And even if you're not native, but you take tests like IQ in Japanese, you should be strong enough to translate. But also, on that note, while you're turning to Luke chapter 8, you probably noticed we have needs. First of all, the needs for someone who could pray for the offering. Usually, we have a few people who rotate in and out, but we've been unable to get that organized. So if you would have an inclination to pray for the offering, it's a very small thing, but a very big deal for us. Please don't hesitate to let me know or let Jim know, who coordinates the bulletins, to tell him, hey, I would love to be able to just pray for our offering on a Sunday. That would be great. Also, for some of you, you've been watching the band, listening to the music, and you say, I could do that. Please don't hesitate. I know that some churches have a long waiting period or a probation period where they don't know if they'll let you come and play. We're not one of those churches, okay? Some people come here 1 week, and then by their second week, they're already playing here. And I don't know if that's good or bad. It's just the way it is. So if you have a musical ability and you want to use it to bless the Lord, even if you don't have musical ability, but you want to bless the Lord, we'll pray about that and talk to one or anybody on our worship team, and we'll get you in the mix some way or another. Also, on our PowerPoint as well, it all falls heavily on Tachan or Tatsaki, and please let him know if you're able to help. We've got a 13-year-old who's helped us before. Is it 13? No. 10. Excuse me. 10-year-old. If a 10-year-old can do a better job than Tatsuaki, you can definitely help out with the PowerPoint. So, I'm just kidding. Please let us know if you can help with that, or with moderating, or with any other thing. If you have an idea of a ministry, like Bible study or an outreach, of course, let us know. We want to be active. We want to be a church that is not hindering you from whatever God has in your life. So, okay, enough with the announcements. Let's get down to the Word. We're in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Our subject for today, excuse me, Tyrone, if you could turn my microphone down just a little bit. Our subject for today is the members, what is it? Kingdom members, is that what it is? Can't even remember my own title. Kingdom members. That's a good picture, isn't it? Good looking people right there. Kingdom members, why is that? For those of you just coming back, your first week back, our theme for this year's preaching is the kingdom of God. This is the topic that Pastor Hiroshi has chosen for our church. And I'm just going to follow him every Sunday, verse by verse, passage by passage. And so we started last Sunday on the kingdom of God. And this week is the members of the kingdom. Last week was the message of the kingdom. The kingdom of God was preached by Jesus Christ, and his message was two things. This was in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It says that Jesus went around preaching the good news. And he was telling people, one, to repent, and two, to believe in the gospel. This is a bit of a review, but I want us to catch up and be all on the same page. Jesus' number one message was not love, not forgiveness, not peace, not joy. It was repent. It was the kingdom of God. And it was the kingdom of God is two things. It's to repent. Repent, as I explained last week, it's the word metanoia. Noia means to have a mindset, a way of seeing things, a point of view. And meta means to change it. And so the way I see my life, the way I look at my life, the way I view things, the way I think about things, the way I perceive the world, I need to change it because it's the metanoia. That's the repentance. And the Japanese word is interesting. It's kui aratame. Kui means to have sorrow or grief. And aratame means to change. So what we find in the Greek is a little bit different from the Japanese, but the one thing they have in common is that word change. And so the kingdom of God is one where the people of God are changing. They're repenting. It's repenting of what? Sins. Repenting of what? A lifestyle. Repenting of disobedience, of offense to God. So like the snake. This is the year of the snake. And every time I want you hear the words year of the snake, I want you to imagine, just like a snake is often repenting of his skin and always changing and growing out of his skin, I want you to remember the people of God are always repenting. See, the question of repentance is not when you repent. The question of repentance is how often you repent. Because repentance is a continual process of growth and change. That's the first thing of the kingdom of God. The second one is that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus preached, repent and believe in the good news, the gospel. What is the gospel? Last week, couldn't get all four. I just gave three. The incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. The incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. That's the gospel. So if you want to go deeply into that, I would invite you to get online and download that off of our mitakigc.com. That's the message of the kingdom. This week we're going to get into the members of the kingdom. And I feel kind of bad about that word. I don't like it myself. It's kind of a semantic thing, but words are important. Members kind of thinks you think of a club, don't you? And my biggest pet peeves that I have about church is that people think it's a club. And church is not the club of God. It's the kingdom of God. And so it's not necessarily members. It's citizens. But, you know, members, message, that kind of a thing. So anyways, we're talking about the people of the kingdom of God. Let me start off with a story. There was a preacher, kind of an older preacher. Think Pastor Kevin. He's the oldest preacher we have at this church. And don't laugh. That's not. Anyway, this old preacher, he had an itinerant ministry. In other words, he's had a traveling ministry. He'd go around to churches that would invite him to preach the word of God. That's biblical. Jesus was at first an itinerant preacher. Okay, we'll see that today in our passage. And he would go around and churches would invite him. This is in the United States. And so he didn't necessarily drive to these places. He was kind of well known. So he would fly to different cities around the country. And when he would fly, when he arrived at a certain city, someone from the church that invited him would come and pick him up. And they would have a sign, or, you know, they would have a picture that they could see to let him know. So when he gets to an airport, he could just look for someone calling his name, or you know, someone holding his name up. And this preacher hated, he hated, hated waiting. I do too, I can relate to that. Maybe some of you can too. So he gets to one airport, he's been asked to preach, he gets to this small city, and there's nobody there. And he hates to wait, he really does. But he's thinking, okay, well, I'll just go to the baggage claim and, you know, get my luggage off the rack, you know, put it in a pile, you know, set it down and just wait. Still, nobody's there. He hates to wait. He just hates waiting. But nobody's coming. So he's like, all right. And then what happens is all of his people, the people who came together on his flight, they've all gone. The people had picked them up. You know, they got in their cars and they'd gone. And he was the only one left. And he's just, he hates waiting. And they're sitting there. 30 minutes. The other flight comes in, you know, and their bags come in, and they're all getting their things together, and he's still looking around. Where is this guy? And he's waiting. He hates to wait. And finally, those people, they get all out of the way. And he's still there. 40 minutes, 45. He's there 50 minutes. Still waiting. Nobody. Am I in the right city? What's going on? He looks around. He starts walking up and down the airport. Sees a guy. Passes him. Walks back. Sees, you know, walks by people. Sees the same guy. And that guy, he looks up at him. And he's walking by. And he's walking. He passes the same guy maybe 4 or 5 times. And the guy, every time he passes him, that guy looks at him like, yeah. So finally he's thinking, maybe this is the guy. So he goes up to this young man and says, you looking for somebody? And the guy said, yeah. He says, are you looking for Pastor Omer? He said, yeah. He says, I'm him. And the guy says, reaches in his pocket, pulls out a picture, looks at the picture, looks at the pastor, looks at the picture. I don't think you're him, Pastor. And the pastor, no, wait. Let me see that picture. So he gives him the picture, and it's a picture from high school. And he was an African-American preacher, a big afro, you know. Big collar, you know, coming out there. Big jeans coming out there. And I said, I see the problem. And the young man said, yeah, Pastor, you don't look anything like your picture. You know, in the Bible, God gives us a picture. He gives us a picture of the church. In the Bible, we have the perfect image of who we are as the kingdom of God. And so it is very important that we understand that picture. Because when the world looks at the picture, and then the world looks at us, is the world saying, you don't look like your picture. And so it's very crucial that we understand who it is that we are as the members or the citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we're going to see in our scripture today, Jesus is walking with his people. And Luke gives us just a snapshot of who they are. And it's, if you read it, it looks like, you know, like a normal list of people. But I assure you, it's kind of surprising. Let's read it together before we go on. Let's go ahead and read from verse 1. We're going to read to verse 3. And then I'll get into it. Let's read. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means.
The words of God.
Amen. Well, we're talking about the members of the kingdom of God, the citizens, and there's three things that if you look at it, should surprise you, ought to kind of, huh? What is that kind of moment for you? And let me tell you what they are. One is the origin of the members. And the application is that God goes everywhere. Second is the status of the members. The implication being that God saves everyone. And third, the motivation of the members. The implication being grace produces love and gratitude. So the origin of the members, the status of the members, and the motivation of the members ought to surprise you or make you kind of have a double take. Number one, the origin. It says that after this, just real quickly as I'm trying to be expository, Luke chapter 7, there's a beautiful story of a time when Jesus was having dinner and a woman named Mary comes, and she's the sister of Martha and Lazarus in John chapter 11. She comes in and she just starts weeping, and she washes the feet of Jesus with her tears and wipes them clean with her hair. And then she takes a jar of expensive perfume and she pours it over Jesus, anointing his body, his head for burial. It's this beautiful, beautiful picture of the grace and the tenderness of God, and also the king that he is. And everybody's freaking out. They're going, what? If you know who she was, you wouldn't allow her to do this. And Jesus, no. She can teach all of you about repentance, about humility, about worship. So this amazing event happens, and now after this, this event where he's anointed as king or being anointed for burial. So Luke is saying, we're moving now, we're shifting from one section to a new section. And so from chapter 8, verse 4, it's a new part. And Jesus is now going to the cross. And so as he's going to the cross, we get a picture of what Jesus is doing. And what he's doing is he's in the countryside. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another. If you have your Bible, if it's a print Bible, mark it, circle it, underline it. Town and village. That's key. That's very important. Town and village. If it's like a device, you know, put a note on there, bookmark, whatever. Tap it. Town and village. I want you to understand, Jesus did not go to a city or a capital. Okay? Jesus went to towns and villages. This is Hiroshima, a population of about 1 million people. Some of you are from outside of Hiroshima, population of less than 1 million. Towns like Kure, towns like Mihara, towns like Hiro, towns like Takehara, Shobara, Keihoku, Ono, Etajima, Ujina. Ujina? Some of you may not have heard of some of those names. Some of you, you're from there. And so like most of the readers of the scriptures at that time, it's like Jesus was going out there. Now I want you to think about this. This is the God of the world coming finally to save the world. He's got a message that will ultimately change the world. So it's counterintuitive. Because if I was God and I wanted to change the world, I would go to the most influential place in the world. At that time, Rome. He doesn't go there. The next place, Greece. Doesn't go there, Athens. Where does he go? He goes to Israel. What is that? Okay. I'll give you Israel. So he goes to Israel. Does he go to the capital? Jerusalem. Doesn't go there. Where is he? He's in the north of the kingdom. In places like Cana, Nazareth, Bethany, Bethesda, Tiberias, Magdala. That's where Mary's from, the Magdalene. These small, podunk, rinky-dink, out-of-place towns. That's where he's going with his message that will change the world. And that's where he's going to get his first citizens of his kingdom. The origin of the members is not from Jerusalem, not from Athens, not from Rome. It's from like Kude. No offense, my wife is from Kude. But that's where he's gone. And that ought to surprise us. That ought to make us say, huh? He's going from one place to another, and he's proclaiming the kingdom, and he's gathering his people. And tons of people were coming out. He couldn't even fit in the synagogues anymore. He would go into the synagogues. He would teach there. And then he would heal, or he would feed, or he would minister. And people were like, what? This is amazing. We've never heard this before. Repent? Wow. And they were coming out in multitudes, the Bible says. And he, not just were they coming to him, he was going to them. This is awesome. This is our God, your God and mine, who is not willing to stay where it's comfortable and it's wonderful, where angels surround him and where he's in constant fellowship with his loving Father and the Holy Spirit. He goes out to reach us wherever we're at. And it's ironic that some of us come to Japan and we get saved in Japan. Isn't it? We come from Christian countries, we come from countries with thousands, millions of churches, and then we come to Japan and we come to Mitaki, or we come to another church out here, and we meet God and he changes our lives. That's amazing. But that's our God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run from your presence? If I go to the far side of the sea, even there, your right hand guides me. Psalm 139. God is willing to go out to everywhere. I want that to encourage us. I want that to get inside and say, look, God is going out to my school. God is going out to my office. Everywhere. And God may be sending me. It could be that God sent you here because no one else would go. You could be the only Christian in your company, in your school, in your work. You could be the only one because God loves your school, your work, your family so much. He sent you to them. How good is he? So that's the origin of the members. Let's go to the status of the members. This one even gets me all the more. This is amazing. God saves everyone. It says that he was with the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Now, let's stop with the 12. The 12, some of you probably are familiar, if you know your Bibles, those are the 12 disciples. The head being Peter, then there's James and John, and then those were the three main leadership. But the 12, there were thousands who followed Jesus, but he invested in these 12 men. Now, why does it just say the 12? Well, we're talking about the kingdom. He was preaching the kingdom of God. This is in Israel. And so what did Israel have in its history? Well, how is Israel divided? 12 tribes, right? 12 sons of Israel. And so these were the founding or the foundational leaders of Israel. And Jesus is coming for the true Israel, the true king of Israel. And he's saying, I've got the 12 because I'm the real king. And he comes with them. And you read all about them. Now, I want to get back to my previous point. If I'm God, I've got a message to change the world. I'm going to go to Rome or Athens or Jerusalem at least. Not Jesus. He goes to Nazareth. But if I'm also God, I'm going to either choose the emperor, the pope, the mayor, somebody with influence, somebody with power, someone with education to be able to spread my message, to influence others, to get in the circles, to have the people in high places. Who does Jesus have? He's got fishermen. He's got rural people. Maybe uneducated folks. It says that, you know, the book of Acts, people were surprised. Who? They're from Nazareth. They're from Galilee. How is it that they know the scriptures so well? Why does he do that? One idea is that, look, if they end up changing the world and they are having an impact on the world, who's going to get the credit? Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ can save the uneducated, the poor, the unruly, the rural, the outside, the outcast, man, he can change the world. So he has the 12, but then it goes beyond that. This is the heart of it. And also some women, you need to just, man, put colors all over that word. Women, this is first century Judea, Israel. The rabbis, the leaders, they felt, women, you shouldn't even be teaching them. Women had no, they couldn't vote. Well, there was no election, excuse me, they didn't vote. They couldn't own property, they couldn't buy property. Sometimes they were the property of their father or their husband. They couldn't even testify in a court of law. That's how little they were regarded. And they couldn't go to school. They were not educated at all. They weren't worth educating. And so if you were a teacher, if you were a rabbi, if you were an educator, you had men. And maybe boys, but men. And this was not just in Jerusalem. This is not just it. This is everywhere. In Greece, you name it. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, those main guys that we like to hold so high, they never taught women because they thought they weren't worth teaching. And Jesus says, nope. This is the kingdom of God. And I'm going to put women in their place. Right next to the men. You see, that's how it was in the beginning when God made it. Right? Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2. Where did God take the rib? Or excuse me, God take the woman? Out of the side of Adam. Not out of the foot, because she's not from beneath him. And people believe this. I've had one of my colleagues from work. You say, you should treat your wife a certain way. You should talk to her looking down on her because you're a Christian. Because God took her out of you. And I said, no. God took her out of my side because she's just as valuable to him as I am. And Jesus, he elevates the status of women again and says, no. They can learn. They can sit at my feet. And not just anyone. Excuse me. Not just the high, powerful women. Not just the ones who deserve an education. Any woman. Mary Magdalene. 7 demons? Basically, she was crazy. That's what it's saying. Because they thought demonization, mental illness, it's all the same. It's demons. She was out of her mind, and Jesus loved her. He healed her. He changed her life, and now he's saying, you can sit at my feet, and I'm going to teach you. How awesome is that? Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, always at Jesus' feet. She loved Jesus. Jesus loved her, served her. She was from Magdala, way out in the boondocks. What status does she have? Less than zero. And yet Jesus elevates her. And then who's the next woman on the list? You see, the interesting is, the 12, they get no mention. There's no names. But the women, they're being named right here. This is your service, ladies. This is for you. And so, who's the next woman? This woman named Joanna. No? Cool on the gang? No? Okay, never mind. Joanna. The wife of Cusa. In other translations, it's C-H. So I'm thinking it's like Cusa. I don't know. And he's the manager of Herod's household. Herod Antipas, maybe the son or the grandson of Herod the Great, basically the king. Herod's manager, basically you had to think maybe lawyer, private or personal lawyer, the one who takes care of Herod's personal accounts, his wills, his properties, you know, the money, the goods. His wife became a Christian. Let's think about this now. Someone in the highest ranking part of the country, in Jerusalem, became a Christian. How did that happen? Well, it says that Jesus healed them. And so this is the question in my mind. It should be in your mind. Did she become a Christian aside from her husband? Or is it like how it is in the Bible? If the husband becomes a Christian, the whole family becomes a Christian? I don't know. But she has her life changed. And now she's left the palace. And she's walking around the countryside with dirty, uneducated, simple people. This was the woman who had the pedicures, the manicures, the treatments, the spas. Uh-uh. Jesus changed my life. I'm going to go with him and sleep in the tent. That's this woman's, Joanna. Now, we've got Mary, the rural girl, uneducated, poor. We've got Joanna from the palace. Money, 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 money. And then we've got this one girl, Susanna. We don't know anything about her. That's the only place we find. Oh, that and the cross. That and the cross. She's here and she's at the cross. The men, they're nowhere at the cross. Only John, maybe. Most likely. But these women were there, traveling with Jesus all the way to the cross. Hallelujah for a good woman. And many others. So what's the point? I just had to just break that out because I wanted you to be surprised, as the readers of Luke would be. He's lifting up the status of the women, and what he's saying, God will save anyone who will believe. And I want this number one thing to be an encouragement to you. Some of you, you've been praying. You've been hoping. Oh, and you've been just crying out to God. Will you please, God, save this family member? Oh, please, God, will you save this dear friend of mine? And you get discouraged. Like, I'm right with you. I've been praying for a friend and family members for so long. And it seems like the more I pray, the further they get from the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. I came for everyone. From the rich to the poor, from the educated to the uneducated. You don't know. You don't know. So just keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. And the opportunity, if it comes, it comes. We've had a baptism this last year. The testimony was beautiful. Why? Because in the testimony, it said that her grandmother was praying for her. A grandmother an ocean away. Praying. God will save anyone. That's how good he is. So be encouraged by that. And some of you, I want to go back to this picture. Excuse me. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the ones with status or low status. Jesus lifts up the humble and levels out the proud. I love it when I come to this church and I see people, man, with more degrees than Fahrenheit. They're just so smart in here. Some of you are teachers, you're from the elite, from your country, and you're coming here and helping us out. And I love it that we've got laborers, blue-collar people with dirt in their fingers, worshiping God, shaking hands and hugging and praying for each other. It's the kingdom of God. Be encouraged by that. Be encouraged. The origin, the status, let me get down to the motivation of the members. You couldn't see it there. The PowerPoint's all funky. Excuse me for that. The motivation of the members. This is the best part. So what do we do? Well, what did they do? These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Here's the deal, the big idea. The kingdom of God, we're not a club. We don't do this for membership, and we're not doing this for the money. I don't get paid for this. I do this out of love, out of gratitude, out of a calling from God. And I know that most of you who serve do that as well. And always God is checking me. Why are you doing this, Chris? Because you love to just run your mouth and blab, and you love to be called sensei or pastor. Why are you doing this, Chris? Because you think you have a talent or a gift, and you feel like you have to get people to notice you. Why are you doing this? And so we look at these women, and we look at those who supported Jesus. Why were they doing this? Well, he took 7 demons out of one of them. He healed the disease out of one of them. In other words, he changed their life. He gave them what no one else would give, grace. And I look at our people, and I've been here a few years, and I know some of us, our lives have been changed. Some of us, we are new creatures. We've been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are changed. That's why we're here. That's our motivation. And so I just want to make it clear, the kingdom of God is not people who give their money or give their time so that they're paying back God. They're trying to repay their debt to Jesus Christ. No. The debt has been paid. The sinner's debt cleared. All our sins, all our unrighteousness washed away. It's all been done. So why do we give? Because we love him. He first loved us, and so we now can love him freely. So what I give, it's never enough. Not out of guilt, but because, man, he's given me so much. I want to give more. Now, homie, she was showing me our report of how much we gave to this church. Just our giving record. From last year and the year before, I bless God. We were able to give more last year than we were 2 years ago. And there's some, man, if you would have talked to me 10 years ago, I would have been like, what? I gave that much? What? I could have used that for a car or whatever? But God has been so good. He's been working here, and he's been changing me. And now I want to give more. Mission Sunday, I want it every Sunday. Offering, man, I want more. I want to give. And so I don't talk about tithe. I don't do that. I still need to study that a bit more. Tithing, man, 10%, please. 100%. Anything less than that, the grace of God. The grace of God. But they were supporting him, and they were giving to him. That was their motivation, was that they were changed by His grace, and they were giving out of gratitude, out of love. I don't want to guilt you. I don't want to do it. I want to invite you. I want to invite you. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Come to the place where there's so much love for you, so much acceptance, so much forgiveness. And out of that, you will never be able to give enough. The wallet will always be open. You'll always have enough time. Trust me. That's where we're going with it. This is the motivation of the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Its message and its people. Amen? Okay. I want to invite the gospel team. The worship team. And let's try this Sunday. Just this Sunday, I want to try it. Would you all please rise with me? And the whole point of that is just to get the worship team to come on up as well. If you would rise, and we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful to you for your word. We are so thankful for your grace that chooses us. Us who are not worthy. Us who are full of pride. Us who are full of sin. Us who have wandered so far. And yet you've called us and you've reached out to us. You've saved us. You've cleansed us. You've put your crown and your robe on us. You've seated us next to you. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And Lord, we think about the 12. We think about where they're from. We think about the women and where they're from and what they had. And Lord, we just want to be part of the team. We join them, Lord God, in worshiping you, in serving you, in glorifying you, and we follow you, Lord, wherever you would lead us, Lord. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's sing together our closing song.
Lord, it is you I desire.
to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Okay, thank you all for coming today. So good to see you. Please join us downstairs for some refreshments and some fellowship. God bless you. Have a good Sunday.